I'm Bert Green. This is the Bert Locker. And after a whole week's break from fighting, there were no fights in the UFC last week. So I decided to take a little break. What did I do? Played some Starfield, went and watched the NFL, had a terrific day out. Yeah, it was nice. It was pretty nice. But back to it. I love predicting fights. Well, not predicting fights. I like previewing fights. I like researching these fight cards because I am a huge fight fan. So I like knowing who is fighting in front of me. So it takes a little bit of research, especially when you go further down the cards. That's what this video is designed for. Basically, it's so that you have a better idea of who is in front of you when on the early prelims and the prelims, stuff like that, when the fights happen this weekend. So we're looking at UFC Vegas 80, and I'll be going through the entire card, top to bottom, from the prelims to the main event. I'll keep it to about 15 to 20 minutes. So, because I know you've got stuff to do, do you know what I mean? And I respect that. I respect people that are busy as hell, do you know what I mean? But look, you can spare 15 minutes to help you enjoy the fight card more on Saturday. So let's get cracking. We start off with Montana De La Rosa taking on Stephanie Egger, the Swiss Miss from Switzerland. The Swiss Miss, that doesn't make any sense. Sorry, 125-pound ladies. De La Rosa she's a very strong grappler, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt. She's got 8 submissions and only one win in her last 5, though. This isn't, they haven't got the best quality in the early on in the card here. Egger, the Swiss Army Knife, is that what her name? It should be. I feel like any fighter from Switzerland should be called the Swiss Army Knife. Is that racist? Probably a little. I don't know. I'll ask Dave. Dave, let me know. Let me know in the comments. Is that racist? No. Probably not. Anyway. Woo! Problematic. Sorry. I was at a gig last night doing comedy. One of my friends who I've been doing comedy with for a while, we just... Every time he did like a kind of slightly edgy joke, we were chanting, problematic. It was funny. You had to be there. It was funny. Anyway, I digress. I'll take Egger, the Swiss Miss, the Swiss Knife, the Swiss Cheese. I'll take her to get the win. Nate Maynes takes on Matheus Mendoca from Brazil. 14-3, taking on 10-1, 125 pounders. You've got 5'10", playing 5'6", with a half an inch reach from Maynes. Now, Nate, he's pretty well rounded. He beat Tony Gravely, which is pretty good. I quite rate Gravely, so a win against him is okay. He lost his last two, but one of those was to Umar Nurmagomedov, so. There's no shame in that, really. Mendoca, coming out of Brazil, he got a good knockout on the Dana White Contender Series. I do remember that. He lost his UFC debut to Bacharat, who's pretty good. He's got very good leg kicks. He uses the single leg a lot. He throws quite big and either hits or he misses wildly. Mendoca might be reckless, but he does go for it. I'm going to roll the dice on Mendoca in that one. Then you've got Venesi Demopopoulos? Yeah, Venesi Demopopoulos, 9-5, taking on Kanako Murata, because she's from Japan, so it's Murata, 12-2. Anyway, 115-pound ladies, 15-2, plays 15-1 with a 5-inch reach for Murata. Demopopoulos is an all-rounder. She's not really spectacular in any area, honestly. She is strong in the grappling exchanges, I'll give her that. Murata, out of Japan, she's got a very good Asian wrestling pedigree. She's medaled in a lot of competitions in that particular discipline. She's got a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt to go along with that. So in the grappling aspect of the sport, she's really, really very strong. She's very dangerous. Murata should have a very clear advantage in the grappling, and I will take her to get the submission. Then you've got Aroki Ling, 10-24-10, taking on Johnny Munoz, 12-3. 135 pounders, 5'7", plays 5'9", with a 2-inch reach for Munoz. Now, Akoreng is the Mongolian murderer, and I much prefer saying that to trying to pronounce his name very badly. I can only apologise for that. 15 decisions out of 24 wins, though. Maybe he's not murdering that much. He's 2-5 in the UFC. He might want to switch up nicknames. I feel like to be a murderer, you have to be straight up killing everybody. Now, you know, Shavkat Rakhmonov, he's a murderer. Do you know what I mean? 17 wins, 17 finishes. 24 wins, 15 decisions. I don't know. I don't know if that's... Anyway, Johnny Munoz, he's fairly solid. He's got good submissions. He tends to go win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. And his last fight was a loss, so therefore he should win. That's good enough for me. Munoz to win. Chris Gutierrez, 19-4-2, taking on Montel Jackson, 14-2, 135-pound division. 5'9", plays 5'10", with a 7.5-inch reach for Jackson. That's a ridiculous reach advantage, especially at 135 pounds. How is he doing that? Anyway, Gutierrez, he's a very dangerous striker. He's got very good power for 135 pounds. He's out of Factory X, so you know you have to watch for those savage low leg kicks, those low calf kicks. It's something those Factory X guys do really, really well. I'm a big fan of Gutierrez, honestly. He's got big power, and he loves murdering people's legs. Jackson, he's on a 4-fight win streak. He also has very good hands. He fights long, like really well. He does use his reach well, but I'm going to take Gutierrez here because obviously, you know, you've got Jackson being the taller guy. He's longer, he's lankier. Look how skinny them calves are. They're ripe for a nice calf kicking. I'll tell you what, Gutierrez does that really well. Gutierrez softens up the legs, gets inside for a nasty KO. Then you've got Karolina Kowalkiewicz, take it 16-7, taking on Diana Belbita, 15-7 out of Romania. 5-3, plays 5-7, 4-inch reach for Belbita. Now, Kowalkiewicz, she's a solid all-rounder. She's okay in every area. She's actually very, very polished. She's been in the UFC since 2016. She beat Rose Namajunas. She fought for a belt. She is very, very solid as a fighter. She had a bit of a rough kind of patch, but she's come back recently. I think she's won 3 on the bounce. She's just solid everywhere. She's above average in every area. She's not like one of these all-rounders where it's like she's not spectacular in every area and she's actually below average in every area. She's above average in every area, which makes her very dangerous. Diana Belbita, kickboxer out of Romania. She's very long. She's very attractive. I cannot gloss over that. Good God, she is first team all body. I will give her that. Yeah, her kickboxing's really good. She can grapple, but she generally tends to stick with the striking. I do think here Karolina Kowalkiewicz is probably going to be too much of a veteran here to get caught out by what Belbita's going to bring to the table. Belbita could throw something big and get the knockout. She could keep her at a distance because she does have the reach advantage. But I do think Karolina Kowalkiewicz is probably going to get a decision here. Then you've got Alexander Hernandez, 14-6, taking on Bill Algio, 17-7, 145-pound division. 5'9", plays 6', with a 1-inch reach for Algio. Now, Hernandez, he's young, he's hot-headed, he swings hard, he's reckless, though. He does get caught out by better strikers. Now, Algio is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. He's the one who beat up Gilbert Burns' brother. Herbert Burns, is it? I'm sure it's Herbert Burns, something like that. Either way, he beat him up so bad that he just kind of retired. I think he either quit on the stool or something. Either way, I remember, I think his leg went. He's decent on the feet, but he's also very strong on the ground. I do like Algio here. I would take him by submission, if I'm honest. Now, Philip Linz, 17-5, takes on Ion Cutelebra, 17-9-1, fighting out of Moldova, and Philip Linz fighting out of Brazil, 205 pounds. So 6'2", plays 6'1", with a 3-inch reach for Philip Linz. Now, Philip Linz, he's a former PFL tournament winner, so he won that $1 million tournament at heavyweight, I believe. He's very strong. His grappling, he's got a BJJ black belt. He hits hard. We saw how hard he hits when he fought Evan St. Peru. He cleaned his clock back in February. He's a solid, solid fighter. Ion Cutelebra, he's a monster for the first 60 seconds. He had a great win against Bosa recently, where I think it was in the first few minutes of the first round. Look, if he connects, he'll put your lights out. It's that simple. If it goes past the first round, he's probably in trouble. That's the kind of fighter he is. But he's always fun to watch. Philip Linz should win this, but you know, Cutelebra, he's always going to be fun to watch because he either wins spectacularly or he loses devastatingly. And that is fun. Drew Dober, 26-12, takes on Ricky Glenn, 22-7-2, 155-pound division. 5'8", plays 6', with a 1/2-inch reach for Ricky Glenn. Dober is an absolute killer. He's got a great jawline, good hands, good wrestling. He's a solid athlete. Ricky Glenn's another solid fighter. He's got good hands. He's got a good knockout rate, actually. He's got a bit of a patchy record. I do like Drew Dober in this one. I think he's probably the better athlete of the two. He usually bounces back from a loss as well, which is what he will be doing because he lost his last one out. I like Drew Dober, probably by knockout. Alex Moreno, 23-8, then takes on Jacqueline Buckley, 16-6, 170-pound division. 5'11", plays 5'10", with a 4-inch reach for Buckley. Now, Moreno has been in the UFC since 2016. He's got a flat sort of Muay Thai striking stance. He's got very good low kicks. He's very good at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I think he's a second-down black belt or something like that. He's got very good finishing instincts. When he smells blood in the water, he really, really goes for it. He's fun to watch. Now, Jacqueline Buckley is all power, all the time, all chest, all the time. Look at that chest. Look, he's just on that bench every day, bruh. He must be. God damn. He's got savage kicks. Absolutely savage kicks. In fact, he won knockout of the year 2020 with a big spinning back kick mule, spinning back mule kick, Bruce Lee cross kick. Anyway, go back and type in Jacqueline Buckley 2020 KO of the year. You'll see what I mean. It's like a kind of spin. The guy catches his leg, he spins, he mule kicks and smashes his head off. It's terrific. 16 wins, 14 knockouts. Pardon me. Look, he's got big power. Don't mess with his striking. I'm going to roll the dice on Buckley on this. That's a very good fight. For me, fight of the night. Alex Moreno, Jacqueline Buckley, fight of the night. I said it here first. Then you've got Joe Smug Piper, 11-2, taking on Abdel Nasek Al Hassan, 12-5, fighting out of Ghana. Now, obviously, 6'2", plays 5'10", 2-inch reach for Piper. Now, Piper, his nickname isn't really Smug, but I think it should be, because he looks well smug. I think his nickname's Body Bags or something like that, but he spells Body Bags with a Z, because he's cool, I guess. Anyway, I think he should change it to Smug, because he looks smug. And you know what? He should be smug. 8 of 11 wins by knockout, 2 submissions, 2 UFC fights, 2 first round KOs, slick hands, particularly the right cross. The right cross for Piper is his money shot. It's so, so dangerous. He generates so much power and he covers a lot of distance. And that is what you want from a right cross. It really is very, very, very good. And you've got Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. He's a powerhouse. What can you say? He's got great kicks. Very nice head kicks. We saw that against Chirico when he cleaned his clock. He knocked out Naberio in his last fight. He's very, very tough. He goes one of two ways. He either looks really, really good or he looks really, really bad. He's one of those fighters. When he turns up, he looks sensational. Now, Piper, he's slightly longer. I think we're going to see a lot of work from that right cross. I think we'll see a lot of inside leg kicking from Piper as well. In short, I'm saying I think Piper's probably going to win this one. I'll take the knockout as well. Grant Dawson, 21-1, takes on Bobby Green, 30-14-1, 155-pounders in the main event. 5'10", plays 5'10", with a 1-inch reach for Dawson. Now, 9 fights in the UFC, and Dawson has not lost yet. He's drawn one. He has not lost yet. He's got very good grappling. He's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt. He's very strong, and his back takes are phenomenal. Once he takes the back, it's usually done, though. Bobby Green, he's a fun fighter. He's a fun character, right? He's a bad man, honestly. Like, he really is. He's someone that you wouldn't want to tangle with, because he is about that life. That's what I love about Bobby Green. He's one of my absolute favorites. His boxing is phenomenal. His shoulder rolls. He talks to his opponents. He gets in their heads. He's just a fun character. He's one of the dinosaurs. He's one of these guys that you're seeing fewer and fewer of in mixed martial arts. Now, he doesn't really mix his martial arts all that well. He's very strong in boxing. He's good at stopping takedowns, but only up to a point. He can struggle in the grappling. Tony Ferguson fight aside, that was a bit of an anomaly. Look, for me, Grant Dawson, he should take this one. I think he takes it fairly easily. Please, don't get me wrong, I would love to see Bobby Green just keep this as a boxing match and make it dirty, make it nasty, make it a horrible fight. But Grant Dawson is so goddamn good, man. There's a reason he hasn't been beaten in the UFC. And I feel like Grant Dawson's going to take this fight where his strengths lie rather than keep it where Bobby Green's strengths lie. I think that if Grant Dawson boxes with Bobby Green for too long, Bobby Green could put his lights out. He can put anyone's lights out. Believe that. But I don't think Grant Dawson's got a hell of a fight IQ. I think that Grant Dawson takes this fight where he knows he's got the advantage. He's going to take it to the ground, beat him up, soften him up, probably take the back, get the rear naked choke. And that is the entire fight card. I forgot to separate it between the prelims and the main, but all the fights were there. It's just going to make it a bugger to edit, if I'm totally honest. If you enjoy the content, hit subscribe. I do fight previews. Every time there's a UFC fight card on, I do, like one of my casuals guides, I'll be doing some terrible bets. I like, we all love putting terrible bets down. I like to put down some terrible accumulators. That'll be on the Saturday. There's also my NFL fantasy team. I like to also, every now and again, I'll review video games and film box sets, TV shows, all that good stuff. Whatever gets into my head, whatever I'm enjoying, I'll try and put out some content for it. So hit the bell notification so that you know when the videos drop. And yeah, until next time, keep those odds long. Those bets, terrible.